cute and appropriate little cartoon that says Thanksgiving is a day when we pause to give thanks for the things we have. Memorial Day is a day when we pause to give thanks for the people who fought for the things we have. I'm glad that we live in a country that takes time to remember those that have sacrificed. In Flanders fields, the poppies blow between the crosses row on row. That marks our place, and in the sky, the larks still bravely singing fly. Scarce heard amid the guns below, we are the dead short days ago. We lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow. Loved and were loved, and now lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw. The torch be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep though poppies grow in Flanders fields. May I remind you today that it is the veteran, not the preacher, who gives us freedom of religion. It is the veteran, not the reporter, who gives us the freedom of the press. It is the veteran, not the poet, who gives us the freedom of speech. It is the veteran, God help us, not the community organizer, who gives us the right to assemble peaceably. It is the veteran, not the lawyer, who gives us the freedom to a right to a fair trial. It is the veteran, not the politician, who gives us the freedom or the right to vote. Thomas Jefferson said, "The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants." Americans have shed their share of patriotic blood and died. They were maimed, and those who survived left a part of themselves on those bloody battlefields to rid the world of tyranny. May I say, I do not feel at all qualified nor even worthy to mention the names of some of these places where the bravest and best of America's soldiers fought and died. Places like Bunker Hill. You say, oh, that was a long time ago, Pastor. Those were Americans. Lexington and Concord. Saratoga, Yorktown, Valley Forge. How about places in the Civil War like Shiloh, Antietam, Vicksburg, Gettysburg. World War I in France, places like Cantigny, Belle Wood, Marne, Meuse-Argonne. World War II, places like Pearl Harbor, Midway, Guadalcanal, Saipan, Tinian, Tarawa, Guam, Peleliu, Iwo Jima. During World War II, there were 81 Marines and 57 Navy Medal of Honor recipients. 27 men received the Congressional Medal of Honor for conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity during the Battle of Iwo Jima. 22 Marines, 4 Navy corpsmen, and 1 Navy landing craft commander. Exactly half of the awards issued to the Marines and corpsmen of the V Amphibious Corps were posthumous, meaning after death. Within a larger institutional context, Iwo Jima represented more than 1/4 of the 80 Medals of Honor awarded Marines during the Second World War. This was Iwo Jima's role of honor. It was said by Admiral Chester Nimitz, "Among the Americans who served on the Iwo Island, uncommon valor was a common virtue." Places like Okinawa, Normandy, the Ardennes Forest, Monte Cassino, Kazarine Pass, and then that place, little peninsula over in Korea, the Forgotten War. It's not forgotten by those who fought there. Osan, Incheon, the Chosun Reservoir, Heartbreak Ridge, Seoul, Vietnam, Idrang Valley, Da Nang, or the Tet Offensive, Saigon, Hamburger Hill, other places like Lebanon, Grenada, Iraq, Kuwait, Bosnia, Afghanistan, Iraq, again, Libya, so many other little specks of the world known only to God and the soldiers who fought for them They bled and died for the love of their comrades next to them and the love of freedom. May we, the beneficiaries of their sacrifices, remember them today, tomorrow, and always. The context of our message today is in Joshua chapter 4. Joshua assumed leadership in chapter 1 and spied out the land in chapter 2 and ready to cross over the Jordan River in chapter number 3. And in Joshua chapter 4, we find two sets of memorial stones that were commanded to be set up and are. If you look at chapters 2 and 3, he says, verses 2 and 3, take you out 12 men of the people out of every tribe of man and command them, saying, take you out hence of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you and leave them in this lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. And Joshua set up the 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, verse 9, where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. And then if you look at verse 20, it says, and those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. Why? Why was there to be a heap of stones in the Jordan and a heap of stones in the Gilgal? Why was it? Well, if you look at verses 6 and 7, it tells you, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then shall ye answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off from before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Jump down to verse 21. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Stones in Gilgal. Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan before you until you were passed over, and as your Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Why did God want a heap of stones? And to set up, it didn't mean they were just one next to each other. It was an actual pile of stones. Why did God want that? These large stones for a memorial. To remember. To remember. Hebrews 10:32 says, call to remembrance the former days. You know, there are all kinds of moments in life. There are happy moments. Aren't you glad for the happy moments? I had a great day yesterday. We had the day off, and I went to my son's soccer game in the morning. I was able to go to Robbie Peterson's baseball game in the afternoon, and it reminded me how much I miss baseball. Amen. Actual fast pitch baseball. And then was able to take my little boy over to the toy house for his birthday. Some folks were so kind to give him some money, and he went over and bought some Legos. Amen. And then last night, my wife and I and my children, we walked where we live. On West Washington and Grinnell, we walked over to the fireworks, a little school on Durand, and just enjoyed the fire. I said, you know, that's a happy moment. Happy day. It's good to remember those happy days. And all God's people said, you know why? Because there's some sad days too, isn't there? There's some sad days. There's easy days. There's difficult days. There are breathtaking days in a good way. And then there are those breathtaking days that you wish never took place. Yeah. There are many moments that Satan will try to use to shake us from our faith. And when that happens, we will be helped by some stones, spiritually speaking. Some memorials which will help us to remember. And may I briefly say that it would do each of us good to go back, if not physically, in our minds, to the place, ladies and gentlemen, where God saved us. I don't know where you got saved. Maybe it doesn't even exist anymore. Maybe it was by a bedside of a house that's no longer there. Maybe it was a church building that's no longer there. But go back in your mind to that day. I'll tell you what, it's good to remember. Good to have those stones. I'm glad every time I go back to New England and that sweet little church up on a hill, Mountain View Baptist Church, and I can go back to that ninth pew on the right side where I was sitting the day I got saved. It's a memorial. It's a special place. It's not an idol, and all God's people said. It's a special place. It reminds me of something. Where God saved us, where God stirred us, where God called us, where God did something wonderful for us. Miss June DeCamp was telling me her and Max they'd met before, but they had a special place at a camp. Camp. That's a special place, Miss June. That's a memorial. That's a place where the stones are piled high, so to speak. What mean these stones? Well, when your children, God was saying to Israel, when your children and you look at these stones, I want you to remember some things. God admonishes us to do the same. Number one, I believe that those stones, God wanted them to remember the existence of God. The existence of God. See, Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. When Moses came and he was making all the excuses of why he couldn't do what God asked him to do. And it's comforting to know that that's not a new phenomenon amongst God's people. Amen. It's amazing how we can make excuse after excuse, myself included, of how we can't do what God's told us to do. And God always puts to bed every excuse. And he says, Moses says to God, he says, but when I'll come to them and they'll want to know what your name is, what should I tell them? God says in Exodus 3:14, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me. Not I was. Not I will be. I am. The existence of God. Why when they looked at those stones, Pastor, did God want them to remember the existence of God? I'll tell you exactly why. Because there are times and circumstances that come into our lives where even the most faithful follower of Jesus Christ doubts the existence of God. You say, oh, not me. I'll just say, cut that sentence in half and say, oh, me. Why? Because there are others. Remember what the children of Israel said? Remember what God said to Moses as he was talking to him? He said, and the Lord said, chapter 3, verse 7 of Exodus, I have surely seen the affliction of my people and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For 400 years, Israel was in cruel bondage. It had 30 good years with Joseph and then 400 under taskmasters. Do you suppose, Brother Jack, that there were people that said, where's God? Where's God? Where is He? Don't look so holy and self-righteous. If you haven't said it, you've thought it. And so have I. Where's God in all this? Where is He? Does He exist? Yes, He does. You look over at that pile of stones there, young Jacob. You look over at that pile of stones and I'll tell you what, God exists. He split the Jordan. He split the Jordan. God exists. Oh, atheists will come and they'll mock us. They'll say God doesn't exist. He doesn't answer prayer. He doesn't do anything. Didn't Job say in Job 23:8, behold, I go forward, that He's not there. I go backward, I can't perceive Him. I feel like He's not there. Jeremiah 38:6, It says, and they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Micaiah, the son of Hamalek, and that was in the court of the prison, and let down Jeremiah with cords. Listen to this. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire. You know what mire is at the bottom of a dungeon? It's where all the filth goes from the dungeon. Jeremiah literally sunk into the mire. And you think he just said, oh, praise God for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I think he might have said, where's God? Does he exist? Does he hear me? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Satan points his accusing finger and says, if God existed, then why did your child die? If God existed, why did your wife get cancer? Why can't you feel Him? Why isn't He answering that prayer? Ladies and gentlemen, that is precisely the reason why God told the children of Israel to set up the stone to remind them, to remember that God does exist. God exists. May I remind you today, in the intention of strengthening you, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe what? That He is. And that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek. What mean ye these stones? Remember the existence of God. Number two. Remember the people of God. Back in Exodus chapter 1, it says they set them over taskmasters. And again, we've mentioned here for 400 years that the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, served in hard bondage. But then in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, it says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. My people. Why did God want us to have a memorial of stones to remember the existence of God, to remember that there is a people of God? Well, I'll tell you exactly why. Because again, there are things and circumstances that come into our lives that cause us to think, does God care one bit about me? Does God care one bit about the church? Hey folks, aren't we living in perilous times?
Yeah.
We sure are. Listen, we live in an upside-down world where black is white and white is black, where light is darkness and darkness is light. Literally, just upside down. Perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. No self-control. Fierce despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. This is precisely the reason why God wants us to have some stones. Can I tell you this? I got so moved as I was thinking about this message. You know what these stones are right here? They're a reminder that God has His people. God has a people. There are a people of God. Thank God for that. Joshua 4:23, look at it. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you. Did He dry it up for everybody? No, He dried it up for His people. He dried it up for His people. Until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which He dried up from before us until we were gone over. You say, but Pastor, It seems like in the grand scheme of things in America that the church is not booming like it was in the 60s and 70s and 80s. I'd say that's true. But I will tell you this. Isaiah 1:9 says this. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been like Sodom, and we should have been like Gomorrah. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, it's the people of God that are stemming the tide of God's judgment. It's the people of God. Because you know why? He has a people. Thank God, by the way, that's who He's coming back for. His people. What mean these stones? Remember the existence of God. Remember the people of God. Oh, I love this, and I could preach and preach and preach on this. Remember the works of God. Remember the works of God. Chapter 4, verse 23, we just read it, and verse 24, what do we see there? It says in the middle, the Lord your God did. You dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which He dried up unto us until all were gone over. Here, what happened in chapter 3 when the priests put their feet in the Jordan? It split wide open. You think they were all there like, wow! I think of a lot of them just started walking. You know why? God did that at the Red Sea. The works of God. What mean ye these stones? They're to remind us of God's wonderful works in our life. Can I say this? Sometimes when God's working, it's not evident to the naked eye. Why? And we know all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them are the called according to His purpose. There will be things, think of our graduates that are graduating. There will be things that happen in your life that you'll not be able to make sense of. Amen, folks? God's working. God's working. I imagine those Jews, as they went over the nation of Israel, they looked and they saw God as He parted the Jordan River, and they thought, well, that's our God. That's our God. He's the one that turned the Nile into blood. He's the one that filled Egypt with frogs and lice and flies and cattle and boil and hails and the locusts and the darkness. And He's the one that slew the firstborn of Egypt to deliver us out of Egypt's cruel hand. And then when we were pinned at the Red Sea and the Egyptians, He opened up the Red Sea. Exodus 32:11 says, and Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth Thy wrath wax hot against Thy people, which Thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Oh, it do us well to remember things that God has done in our lives. Can I tell you the greatest work of God in your life is the fact that He saved you. That's a stone. What mean ye these stones? Oh, that He worked in your life. I think of those of you that have been married 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 years. God put you and your spouse together. What a work He did. What a work. The fact that He would allow any of us to serve Him in any capacity. The works of God. Some of you have been healed. You had something and it baffled the doctors. Brother Randall, I know the Easterlings are not here today. They're out. But Brother Randall, the work of God. Others, how God has worked in your life. You know what those are? Those are memorial stones to remember. Remember. Remember the existence of God. Remember the people of God. Remember the works of God. Oh, how about this one? Remember the provision of God. What? They had to get over the Red Sea, and God provided. They had to get over the Jordan. They didn't have the Army Corps of Engineers, Brother Holy. Amen. They had to get over Jordan. And God provided. Remember when they were in the wilderness and they said, we're hungry. God provided manna. God provided water from a rock. God provided clothing. It says in Deuteronomy 29:5, I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot. Hey, husbands, how'd you like to go to that clothing store? I do all my shopping there. 40 years worth. Here you go, honey. See you when we're 82. Amen. Why is that? Why does God provide? Matthew 6, 31 and 32. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Did not God provide a ram for Abraham rather than slaying Isaac? Did not God provide a Passover lamb to spare His people from judgment? Can I tell you this, ladies and gentlemen? Did not God provide His only begotten Son that you and I could go to heaven? Amen. The provision of God. God provides. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. It's a great song. It goes like this. Isaac walked up the mountain, his father by his side, never realizing he would be the sacrifice. And when Abraham raised his hand to take his child's life, in his heart he must have wondered why. Sometimes God will take us to unexpected places, but in every situation we will find God will provide. Beyond what we imagine, so much more than we can fathom, He will supply. God will provide when we trust in Him completely and take each step believing as a child. God will provide. And on another hill called Calvary, a father's only son was offered as a priceless gift of faithfulness and love. Amidst the cry of all mankind, reached down from above and covered us with Christ's atoning blood. No matter what our need is, God will always meet us. I know His grace will always be enough. God will provide. So what's those stones? What mean those stones, Father? They're for us to remember the existence of God. They're for us to remember the people of God. They're for us to remember the works of God. They're for us to remember the provision of God. They're for us to remember, fifthly, the protection of God. Son, my little child, do you see those stones? Remember that similar set of stones sticking out of the Jordan? Let me tell you how our God protected us. Exodus 14 says, "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went before their face and stood behind them. And it came between them and the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other." God literally put this flaming pillar between us and the Egyptians. They were going to kill us. We had nothing. We had no instruments of war. And God protected us. Could we not go later on, ladies and gentlemen, into the Bible when Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah stood before King Nebuchadnezzar? You know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they stood before the king and they took a courageous stand, and the king was full of fury and they said, "Look, king, we're not careful, we're not anxious about this matter. We know that our God is able to deliver us, but even if He chooses not to, we're not going to bow down." And He cast them in the midst of the fiery furnace. And what happened, ladies and gentlemen? Nebuchadnezzar looked in and said, "Didn't we cast three in?" They said, "Yes, king." He said, "I see four, and the fourth is like the Son of God." God protected them. How many times, ladies and gentlemen, has God protected you and I from danger? Evidently protected us from danger. You know what those ought to be in our lives? Stones to remind us of our protecting Heavenly Father. Number six, when you and your children look at these stones, when you look at the stones in the Jordan and you look at the stones at Gilgal, what do they mean? They remind us to remember the existence of God, the people of God, the works of God, the provision of God, the protection of God. Number six, the transmission of God. The transmission of God. What do you mean, Pastor? The main reason for these memorials, the main reasons would be that we would transmit the awesome things that God did for the fathers to the children. That the children would know that God is God. Ladies and gentlemen, we all fail God, and all God's people said. But I tell you this, we must not fail God in transmitting how good God has been to us, as Pastor Donald sung, to our children. We must not fail that. Oh, listen, we cannot make them believe. Can't make anybody believe. Amen. We sure can show them how great God has been in our life. I think about my children. I think about even people in this church that only know me as Pastor Rich. I have friends that knew me 20 years ago and they could tell you terrible things I did and they'd all be true. But God did something great in my life. I don't want my children to miss that. Oh, I certainly, Brother Samuels, don't want them to go off and do the things I did. Amen? But I want them to know that God did something great in Daddy's life. God did something great in Mama's life. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might." We know that. Amen. Jesus said that's the first and great commandment. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Deuteronomy 31:12. "Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger within thy gates, that they may hear and may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all this law, that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord." Psalm chapter 78, verse 5 says, "For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make known unto their children." Does not Proverbs 22:6 still say, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it"? I think those stones must have been a memorial, must have been a teaching tool to teach the children about the existence of God and the people of God and the works of God and the provision of God and the protection of God. Hey, could we, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll not tarry long here. I'm aware of the time. Could we get back to the memorial stone of family altar? You say, what's a family altar? Time together as a family around the Bible. Not around the television. Amen. Not around the smartphone. Amen. Not around the internet. Around the Bible. Best place, best time to do is around the kitchen table. Amen. Get around that kitchen table. We like to do ours before bed. You're looking, listen, get back to family altar. Praying together. Reading the Word of God together. Teaching our children about the great things of God. How about the memorial stone of faithfulness to God's house? What do I have to tell you about that for? It's Memorial Day weekend and you're here. Amen. Just being faithful to God's house. Not missing for every little thing. Not every bunion and bursitis ought to cause you to miss church. Amen. Amen. It's a memorial stone. How about a firm stand? How about faithful service to God? That'll be a memorial stone in your life. You'll be able to point your children to and say, you know what? God does exist. He's worth serving. He's worth attending, being a God's people. He's worth taking a firm stand. He's the reason why we had family altar. Listen, the transmission of God, so important. That's what those stones mean. Lastly, this morning, I think another main reason for the stones is the forgetting of God. Say, remember the forgetting of God, Pastor? That's kind of oxymoron there. Well, verse 6 and 7. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, "What mean ye by these stones?" Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. You say, Pastor, how can anyone forget what God did for them? Easily. If you read 2 Peter chapter 1, you find that if we do not build our faith, if we do not build upon our faith, it says, add to your faith virtue to virtue, knowledge to knowledge, temperance, and it goes on and on. And it talks about how if we do that, that we'll never fall. Doesn't mean we'll never mess up. We're not going to forget God. Then it says, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. See, there are Christians today, ladies and gentlemen, there are Christians, people that are saved, that never go to church. Do you know why that is? They forgot. They forgot what God did for them. By the way, thank God that because they forget doesn't mean God forgot. If we believe not, 2 Timothy 2:13, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. If you trusted Christ, you trusted Christ. But the reason God set up those stones was that we wouldn't forget. Wouldn't forget the great things he did in our lives. Wouldn't forget the times that he protected us. Read Psalm 106. It's too lengthy to read, really. But it talks about how that God saved them for his name's sake, that his mighty power be known. He rebuked the Red Sea. It was dried up. So he led them through the depths and saved them from the hand of them that hated them, redeemed them from the hand of the enemy, the waters of the enemy. They believed his words. They sang his praise. They soon forget his works. Chapter 106, 20, verse 21 says, they forget God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. You see, there's a reason, ladies and gentlemen, why once a quarter we pull this communion table out. And on a Sunday night, we take the bread that represents the body of Jesus. It's not the body of Jesus. It represents the body of Jesus. And we take that unfermented grape juice that represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we take time and we remember. Why? Because we are prone to forget. And I like the fact that it's once a quarter. I know some churches do it once a year. Oh, listen, I want to be reminded. What mean these stones? Remember. Don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget. I'm closing with this illustration. Legend has it that from the steeple of a church in Krakow in Poland, a bugle has sounded, with very few exceptions, the five-note anthem of Krakow, called "Hey Now," every day for 750 years. The last note of the bugle, every one of those times it was sounded, is always muted and broken, as if some disaster had befallen the bugler. This broken note is said to be a memorial to a heroic trumpeter of days gone by. Again, according to legend, during the Mongol invasion of Poland, 1241, the Mongol troops led by General Subutai approached Krakow. A sentry on a tower of the church sounded the alarm by playing "Hey Now," and the gates of the city were closed before the Tartars could ambush the city. However, as this valiant trumpeter was preparing to sound the fifth note, an arrow pierced him through the throat and he died. Thus, the last note on the bugle for the past 750 years has been muted and broken. A memorial so that those in Krakow would never forget. What mean these stones? They remember the existence of God. They're reminders of the people of God. They're reminders of the works of God. They're reminders of the provision of God. They're reminders of the protection of God. They're reminders of the transmission of God to our children. And they're reminders, don't forget God. What mean these stones? Father,